right, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Anyway, alright, Warble's on a lot. Some people, relevant to this channel, you know, history, whatever, people have been around a while, might remember, or might still know, or might still visit the channel. In spite of our philosophical disagreements, I have watched most of his videos over the years. Just because I find the character kind of interesting, and the lifestyle, you know, he's living off the grid and all that stuff, and blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, anyway, so he got the bad news, you know, he's got cancer of his tonsil, and, and so, yeah, it's just creepy. That's it. That's the only word I can come up with. So even though I'm, you know, part of me, there's a little piece of me that's saying, well, you're getting what you deserve because you're this pro-life butthole who keeps saying this circle of bullshit is worth it. You know, so yeah, you should get your share. But frankly, the biggest part of me is just saying, you know, here's another victim who's going to have to endure a whole bunch of yuck. You know, because we're addicted, because we can't let go of doing the same crap over and over again, because, you know, it's just our habit. We have habits, and we can't let go of the habit. You know, just, we're controlled by them. And we should be smart enough to kind of see through all of that crap, kind of know that we're just habitual in this function. you know, different thoughts pop into my head, right? That's, you know, these videos aren't really a book where you figure out what's the right thing to say and what's useless to say and all that kind of crap. It's just crap popping into my head. So I'll go with some of that. What I thought about is Las Vegas. You know, every night there's winners and there's losers, and they just replay the same scene over and over. Every night there's winners and there's losers and the alcoholic and this and that and all the depression and blah, 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 and all the crap that goes with it. You know, all the same functional, basically the same emotional games are being played out every single day. You know, and it's all so redundant. And all of these feelings we have and all these ambitions and all this crap, it's all stuff that has been already done. We've already felt it. We've already been there and done that. Even the school shooters are, you know, no longer unique in terms of it's just the same pattern of behavior. You know, the same, I'm angry and I'm going to take it out on other people. I've been a victim and I'm going to make victims, which doesn't make much sense, frankly. That one still just doesn't fit in my brain. You know, why? You know, just because I sort of had a bit of a victim complex. And, yeah, it never, I mean, it did occur to me every now and then, you know, I'd love to see some people get run over by a truck, but it didn't really occur to me for me to be driving the truck. You know, that kind of thing. I just don't know what makes them so different in terms of them thinking they've fixed the problem by creating another victim. Yeah, it's hard to figure out. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll think, maybe it'll just occur to me the answer. It'll be so obvious. Anyway, so, yeah, those people who do the support thing, you know, if you want to support somebody, help somebody, do something for somebody who needs encouragement and whatever, yeah, Warbles could probably use a kind word, or some encouraging babble, you know, to me, it's like, yeah, I can't fix it, can't do anything with it, he's got a lousy choice, you know. There doesn't have any good options here. There's no option that says, it's gone, it's everything's fine, you go back to your lifestyle. All of them are shitty. You know. So, like I said, this is stuff that pops into your head. So, you know, a few years ago, I started thinking about the fact that, yeah, I'm getting old. And you start realizing that the numbers are getting against you. You know, that every year you're rolling the dice. You know, and what are they going to be? And so I actually thought about, you know, because there are a few people that used to be, well, you know, used to communicate in some way. You know, me, the modern mystic, Warbles, Fred, a few other people, all the same age, basically. And, I'd have the creepy thought, like, well, who's going to get it first? You know, who's going to get that bad news? So the mystic did, actually. I mean, he had to have bypass surgery, but, you know, he's stoic. So, you know, he took it all in stride, so to speak, whatever you want to call that. You know, he just marched through it, apparently, like it didn't happen. I guess Warbles had some of that in him. It wouldn't be my reaction. So you're just saying, like, you know, whose number's going to get up and who's going to, you know, short straws and all that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, they're creepy thoughts because it doesn't really matter. You know that in your head. It's not any better for the universe. It doesn't matter to the universe, so to speak, universally or as a whole. It doesn't matter which one of us are doing which brain is actually experiencing horror and terror and fear and worry and fret and, you know, all of that crap, besides the actual physical horrible pain and all of the other crap that we can experience. It doesn't really matter. But it's hard to, as a selfish individual, or you don't even have to call it selfish, I guess, just an individual that looks through one pair of brain eyes, one brain, looking at the circumstance, I'm glad it's not me. I mean, you know, it's a stupid reaction, but it's sort of there. I mean, I can't say it's not there. But I also know that, you know, tomorrow's another day and it might be my turn to lose it all at the roulette table. We all climb to our plateau, have a little bit of time to, you know, play with the kangaroos, and then it's tumble down the cliff, you know, down the other side of the mountain. And, I think it's a creepy, cruddy, shitty circle to play in with. I think it's a game far too sloppy and messy and ugly and disgusting for anybody to advocate shoving anybody into it. And, yuck. That's all you can say. So again, related to the school shooting thing, again, it's all how people think about stuff. So for some people, it's how many people are dead, and that's all that matters. And, you know, from my perspective, I'm thinking about the story of the ones that aren't going to be dead, you know, and they're going to survive and they'll be paralyzed and ruined for life and all of that kind of crap, and how that is so much worse, in my opinion, than just having your life snuffed pretty quickly. Like, you never even knew it happened. Some of them, they never knew what hit them. You know, they just went to sleep. Boop. They're asleep. And now they're not going to wake up. Well, that's hardly a tragedy. I mean, to be sympathetic to. Tragedy in terms of, yes, their little story won't get to get written. But not tragedy in terms of any of this worry stuff or fret or horror or terror. Any of that crap isn't going to happen. And so as things... as tragedies are evaluated, I would just argue that it's a kind of a bias that our social meme engine produces, that it matters more how dead you are rather than how harmed you are. And those are the stories that matter so much more to people than, to me, the stories that are got so much more bad in them. It's just a fact from my perspective. The tragedy is so much more, the injury thing is much worse than the whoops, you're dead thing. So, I mean, that's sort of Warble's dilemma. You know, as a life advocate, he can't really say, well, maybe I should just, you know, spend some blissful moments in my whatever habitat, say goodbye to the trees and the snakes and the bugs and the birds and all that bullshit, and, you know, gracefully go to sleep. Or, you know, shall I fight, you know, come back perhaps, you know, be again able to play around, you know, but in who knows what condition and, you know, and what kind of compromise and blah, blah, blah. And is it going to be good enough and whatever? And, you know, is it a lousy decision to make, have to make, you know. But, you know, for him, he really can't make the decision because he's already committed essentially to playing the game as they've diagrammed the game. It's worth playing. You know, it's somehow worth it, which I can't understand. But the fact that I can't understand it doesn't mean they don't understand it, I guess. You know, I guess he understands why they are, as a group, belligerently pro-life and, you know, pro-degrading it to any degree to preserve it, you know. Save the life, even if it is in a wheelchair, or save the life no matter what kind of horror it will experience. Which, you know, yuck. And mostly just because it's so difficult to face the ego insult, I guess, of your story not being important enough to be continued. Somehow nobody can accept, you know, that. And that gets also, again, to the ego thing of the school shooter types. I mean, obviously they have to have a completely inflated sense of their own worth, you know, to be able to say that any trespass against it, you know, somebody stepped on their robe or something and they must be executed for the violation of not paying proper respect. You know, that somehow they're entitled. And that's in a world where, you know, we're eating little baby animals for dinner. You know, I don't know. It's just, yuck. So, all right. Well, I'll take a pause there and see if anything else occurs to me. It's just creepy. So, I mean, I've been sitting there musing over his circumstance for 4 days or so, and I can't make anything good out of it. Can't. It's just part of this creepy part of life, you know, where somehow you have to deal with this jeopardy, and you can't even be sure, you know, what you're going to get out of any investment you make in trying to do this or trying to do that. Can't even be sure if it's the right decision. It just, you know, even that makes the thing unsellable as a product. The very idea that you can't even guarantee what you're going to have to pay, you know, for what kind of outcome. I mean, shit. It's just not a very good, it's not a bargain. This is not a bargain. This isn't something you impose on something. No, you don't do that. And call yourself reasonable or fair. You know. Yeah. No. Alright, I'm back. Didn't think of much. Thought of something silly, so I'll throw that in just because what your brain does. Sort of as a kid, I had an obsession with the number three. You know, everything seemed in threes, the universe seemed to be made out of threes, blah, blah, blah. And so I was thinking Warble's kind of had a three thing. You know, he got COVID, his mother died, and he gets a cancer diagnosis all in within like 3 weeks, you know, which, ew. A similar thing happened to me in a sense that it wasn't within a time frame that small. But, you know, my parents died, and then Santino, the cat I lived with for quite a while, died, and then I got kicked out of my house. You know, which, you know, But you know, that's just the little superstitious kind of stuff our brain does, you know, makes these associations or connections, and you know, doesn't mean anything. It doesn't, you know, that's the part we should try to avoid. I shouldn't even talk about it, because anything, as soon as you start doing that to some people, they're all, their little conspiracy theories start clicking, and you know, they find reality in you know, nonsense. But yeah, it's, you know, it's no point even thinking something, you know, look, whatever. I find human beings really so much dimmer. I just really never thought people were as dumb as they really are, you know, and just that never occurred to me. I guess because I was not, I mean, I didn't walk around thinking I was smart, even though I guess I was clever. You know, I seemed to be able to talk my way out of things. I could bullshit pretty good. I could do, you know, I was functional. But I had no clue how to play the life game. You know, I didn't see any strategies that could make any sense at all in terms of getting ahead or succeeding, just because the whole thing didn't make any sense. And I kind of thought there was some, I thought there was some other reason why it worked for other people. Like, I could never have been a used car salesman or something. I could never, I couldn't even do work for people for the, what it, the value of it, because I was always trying to find them a bargain. You know, find them somebody cheaper than me. So I'd always have to undercut my own price just to make sure it was a bargain. I'd have to be cheaper than just fair, you know, because, you know, it just seemed that's the only fair thing you do. You don't cheat people. You know, you don't charge more than it's worth. So you always undervalue what it's worth. You know, so I just figured out as a kid that I have no hope in the real world, because yeah, I'm not gonna be able to sell anything to anybody for what it's worth, ever. You know, yeah, little things like that. This, you know, made it clear to me that this wasn't going to work. And it's, you know, frankly, it's still not working. But I've managed to get, you know, from here to there, you know, without tragedy, so to speak. Without, well, see, that's it. It's all your definition of it. I still have my arms and legs are still working. You know, I'm doing okay by relative comparison. But I'd still say it isn't good enough. It's not okay. It's just better than worse. So, you know, is that, and is that, you know, that maybe that's just another mechanism that clicks into people's heads and they just say, well, it's, you know, as long as I'm doing better than worse, I'm winning. So as long as there's somebody behind me, you know, in worse shape, I'm winning. You know, I guess that's the difference between people. People who look, you know, forward and see how far behind they are, and people who look backwards and see how far ahead they are. I mean, you know, maybe something that unprofound as a piece of crud, a philosophical or psychobabble, maybe that's frankly 90% of this bullshit. It's just where's your focus, you know, on how bad a job you're doing or how good a job you're doing. You know, it's just a word you're using. How much are you failing versus how much are you winning? You know, just a matter of which way you're looking, or something stupid like that. Anyway, really should be deeper than that. But all right, well, that wasn't much. Didn't gain much from the last pause. Let's see how this one does. All right, not much gained again. Sorry, I was just thinking about how, you know, this talking on the internet thing, okay, didn't really work. You know, I mean, nobody got anywhere, frankly, of all the, you know, Fred and Warbles and me and you. I know there's other people, Piero, even people on the list. There's just no traction to be gained. you know, there's this limited number of people that find other people trying to explain what they see when they live their life doesn't have much value to people. You know, and there seems a certain irony in that. And I find it somewhat interesting. You know, obviously people have to have some, they have to be bring something to the table in terms of having some life experience and some knowledge of philosophy and logic, even, to be able to make any kind of reasoned argument about a social policy or, you know, arguing for or against something. But it's kind of just curious. And, I guess that's all to say about it. Warbles is a smart person, the modern mystic smart guy, Fred smart guy, you know, a lot of smart people, and somehow, okay, people don't find it interesting. So unless they formalize it, you know, in some way into some soundbitey argument, I don't even know if that exists online, frankly. You know, people don't have much use for it as explained from a person's point of view, you know, walk and talk kind of a thing. You know, Warbles is always in his environment. Fred was always walking the dogs. Mystic is always doing his thing from the chair, and me, chair thing, do most of it. Just kind of curious over the years. It really hasn't caught on at all. It's just sort of frustrating because you're just kind of realizing that there's no audience for this, what I'm doing now, and I'm still doing it though. It's just so obvious you have to do something else to make some sort of more potent, useful, practical, let's just say practical argument. It's not a very practical way to communicate, is to communicate to six people. And people that, generally speaking, I suppose, already, you know, agree with you about most things. Not much point in that either. So that's a pretty dismal statement right there. So I have to work on that. Why am I still doing it then? Habit. Alright, back. So I was thinking about the winning and losing thing, and, you know, sort of about the, in these conversations, what sort of happened over time between, you know, the fact that I can't get along with the modern mystic, and, you know, me and Warbles couldn't get along, and me and Fred couldn't get along, and, you know, all of that kind of happened. And, you know, partly because, I guess, with the mystic, it's just this nihilism argument. He's a nihilist. He doesn't think it means much. You know, outcomes really aren't what you're measuring. That somehow, because the brain is synthesizing feelings, that they don't really matter that much. You know, that if we suffer or we don't suffer, that's not what we're measuring. That's not the thing of value. There frankly isn't anything of value, because it's all synthetic, because it's all a material process, and the material process can't matter. Some kind of bullshit like that. It seems obvious to me that you just measure how much you're paying. You know, the commodity here, the money, is obvious. It's feelings. So you just measure, you know, the positive feelings, the relief of horror, you know, against the horror, how much horror there is. And you just say, is it a bargain? You know, that, so it does, on its face, it can't make any sense, because, yes, all the goods are basically preventions of bads, so they're not really positives, they're just unnegatives. And so you're really just measuring negatives against unnegatives, you know. An unnegative can't really undo the negative. you know, without a real positive, you have no hope of, you know, producing anything that's going to pay for any of this, that's going to make any of this worth it, quote unquote. So anyway, but that's an argument you can have, you know, about how you place a tribute value. So again, I've pointed out that I don't put much value on a victim, okay, who's killed pretty much instantly. I mean, it has value. It's a negative in the sense that, you know, we all shouldn't have our little story interrupted for some stupid reason, unnecessary reason. Some should have been prevented reason, however you want to describe it. but I can't, you know, in all honesty, I can't say it'd be a tragedy, right? So if a stray bullet flies through the window and wipes me out in a millisecond, it'd be too bad that I don't get to finish my project here on Earth. And frankly, I think my project's probably worth finishing, you know, so that's why I would put any value on it at all. But let's say I was 30 years old, and at that point in my life, I was pretty much useless, because I didn't see any, there was no way to fix anything, there was no way to do anything, so I was just living my stupid existence. I was just trying to get from day to day without going insane. And, so if I got wiped out then, yeah, nothing but good news, frankly. Because there was no story. There was nothing to finish. I wasn't project-oriented. because I was futile. I felt futile. I was futile. I just didn't have any... That didn't have any use. The world had no use for me, and I had no use for it, however you want to describe it. It just was a kind of a dead period. I was just walking through it. I wasn't participating in it. Where was I? I wanted to get sort of to the quality of the arguments and the fact that, you know, even that degrades, is that you can't even have arguments with people because they do become too personal. And so, you know, even that breaks down, is that they're, you know, without some sort of structure in which to have arguments, yeah, you know, some sort of debate where it's defined as a debate about a subject. But even then, it's, you know, how do you keep it from being personal? It's, you know, it's like people arguing in defense of the Confederacy or something. I mean, how do you not take that, you know, how do you not take that as being just overtly retarded? And advocating for almost defending, you know, racism and, you know, Hitlerish kind of crap. I mean, it's hard not to find that personally offensive that somebody would defend shit. Yeah. So I guess in a way that's where, you know, it's all subjects, I guess, can degrade that way. I guess, you know, it's Werbel's incessant pro-life, circle of life, whatever bullshit, Gaia, God, crapola, you know, like the environment is some wonderful thing, nature some, you know, beautiful construction of some kind, you know, worthy machinery, you know, that it's just a great idea, you know, to make a bunch of babies and have most of them killed, you know, so you can make your whatever mega kangaroo, you know, it's, you know, the whole thing is ridiculous, in my opinion, you know, as a plan. You know, again, if this, you know, I've made this same argument, but, you know, if you had to submit it as an environmental, like you're going to build a building, and so you have to have an environmental impact statement and sort of explain how whatever tragedy or cost you're going to create, whatever pollution, whatever bad, that somehow it's compensated by the good, you know, evolution couldn't pass reasoned judgment. It would be like, what are you, crazy? This is a silly idea. Kill most of the kids, you know, so you can just, you know, make a super something that some other parasite will figure out how to kill eventually anyway. Yeah. You know, it won't even guarantee you a winner in the end, you know, that you'll evolve into such a niche-y, you know, one trick pony, that, yeah, you'll be defeated by, you know, a tick with Lyme disease or something. So, I mean, it doesn't guarantee you anything. It doesn't work. It just creates a bunch of extinct, you know, versions. It, you know, there's, you know, many more, you know, forms of life have gone extinct than exist. Yeah. It fails to even do the engineer, the mega machine. It never makes one. Now, you can give crocodiles credit for being enduring, but you wouldn't want to live like one, probably. Anyway. All right, well, that's almost a tangent. So we'll see if I can come up with something a little better. I would just give up. I'm obviously just distracted by the fact that the conversation doesn't have much utility, and I'm conflicted. You know, I'm conflicted by the fact that, yes, I, you know, how much of the subject of our mortality and the threat of dying badly and all of that is just my personal fear of what's going to happen to me, versus how much empathy am I even capable of having, again, for people who have advocated for their whole life for playing essentially are creating the imposition. They're feeding the very machine that's creating all this horror. I'm supposed to have empathy, or I'm supposed to, it's not even that I'm supposed to. I have it, whether I like it or not, and I'm conflicted. Because when will there be justice, so to speak? I mean, people will. Even when people are facing it, they're playing this stoic game of pretending they're for it. When, you know, they're probably going to pay more than it was worth. They're going to pay so much that it's going to tarnish, you know, whatever the story was that they're telling by being here. Their whole, you know, the bad ending is going to ruin the entire, all of it. It's going to be so much it's going to be such a high price you're going to pay that, you know, all your victories and all the rest of it don't mean anything because the end is going to be so bad. Yuck. So, yeah, I mean, there's a real argument to be made. And, you know, the argument is why are you playing with some? Why are you promoting? Why are you endorsing in any way people having any casual thought about having kids? Because it's not a casual business. There's nothing casual about it. You know, there's huge stakes in terms of potential harm. And just, you know. Yeah, serious subject that no one will take seriously. All right, so I was thinking of, you know, how people believe or what they're, you know, how they're convinced by arguments or what arguments they even listen to or pay attention to, and how much this all has to do with some sort of charisma thing. You know, and I have to say in my own life that's been true. You know, that there are certain people you'll just like them for some stupid reason. It's almost like what defines attractive versus unattractive. And it's these subtle, stupid little things. You know, things that don't work on one person, work on another. You know, and it's like the color of the shirt or something. You know, it's maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. You know, some people will say, that doesn't work. You know, somebody else will say it does. It's so, you know, just kind of mushy. There's no real science to this idea of what intrigues you about somebody. Maybe it's like a dog or something. You know, some people, you know, what they find intriguing, you know, is the dog's eyebrows move or some kind of bullshit, and, you know, that makes up for the fact that it's a mess otherwise. I'm just saying, I when I think back to my life, I think about, you know, people who are stuck in my memory, and some of them aren't stuck there for any good reason. I mean, I like them just because of some little subtle thing about them that made them in some way cute, you know, whatever, appealing. And I can't, you know, if I really thought about it, I can't be sure that they had any kind of, you know, integrity as a person, like they were really good people or any, I was doing any of that kind of examination. I think there were subtle clues that they were people I could identify with in terms of they were, you know, modest and they weren't takers, you know, they were defensive rather than offensive, and, you know, in how they lived or something. I mean, there was probably some of that subtlety in there that made the difference, but it's kind of funny how it is just so, it's not as, we're not earning it kind of thing, you know. It just would be better if, you know, everybody's true character, you know, you could see your true colors, you know, is that if whatever our soul was, our you know, what your, the integrity of your consciousness, what it was as a being, you know, whether you were just kind of a cruel, in it for me kind of, you know, what's in it for me kind of person, or, you know, somebody who did actually in some real way care about things, and care about things not because they're for your possession or not because you own them, you know, merely because they're things to be cared for. You know, just how much of it, you know, was part of, you could see it. It'd be nice if we could see that without having to know somebody's lifestyle and to examine everything they do and to see if they have any hypocrisies and all of that kind of crap, to know what their real character is. Because you really don't, you know, you don't know so much. You don't, can't be sure just from what people say, I guess. I mean, I think you can't obviously know from what people say over time, because they say enough stuff that, you know, you can't miss it. You know, like the mystic, you know, I mean, in spite of his philosophical views, he clearly, you know, cares about the cat, and he cares about, you know, he's concerned in very appropriate ways for things, and not, you know, he'd be cautious not to cause another person aggravation or irritation. You know, he'd be cautious not to be imposing. You know, all of these right things. And yet his value system almost says it doesn't matter. You know, that all of that is useless crap. You know, because the outcomes don't matter. Something like that. Yeah, the mystic thing is just sticks in me, you know, just such a wrong way. I can't get that fork out of my brain that there's no way we should be disagreeing. I mean, there's just no practical way that it should happen. Because there's too many points of agreement for there to be any room for making any wrong numbers, you know, to do any miscalculating. But it does happen on more than one subject, so I guess that sort of proves that there really is something, you know. And I just can't define the elemental, I can't find the kernel of dirt that's screwing up the symmetry, that's breaking the continuity that should exist. We should really get each other. The fact that he don't get me at all, just doesn't make sense. You know, just, I was just thinking of the economic thing, just because he, you know, he doesn't understand what cash is, you know, and it's like, how could you not understand, how could you do anything economically and not understand what cash is, you know, I mean, just, you know, that it's a real thing, that it's cash for a reason, that it's not just a nothing, it's a something, but anyway, all right. Yeah, so I'll pause and see if This has got to be the most this is, you know, the most pause, the most it's not, you know, I don't have the right words for what I have to say video ever I've made, but whatever. It's got to be a worst one, you know. This could be it. Yeah, all right. So the Frankenstein metaphor analogy popped into my head, and that we're all just kind of Frankensteining through our lives, you know. You know, we can't guarantee anything, can't control anything, we misinterpret everything, we hurt people we didn't want to hurt for reasons that, you know, have nothing, you know, we didn't even know we were doing it, you know, misimpressions, all the, you know, all the bullshit in a life that you can't control, that isn't what you intend, just because you got boots that are too big and, you know, you're just a monster, and, you know, then you just pile on the simple argument, why would you make monsters? Why would you inject people? It's hard enough to come up with a perfect world to inject people into, let alone, you know, why would you inject them into this world? You know, where not only are we dysfunctional, but the system is dysfunctional. There's no functional world they're walking in. So it's as if you're Frankenstein in the crooked mirror kind of, you know, funhouse. I mean, it's really a mess, you know, because not only are you not very functional in terms of being aware of enough things and understanding and all of that kind of stuff, you're too focused on your agenda, you miss too many things, you have accidents. But the world is basically moving at the same, you know, you're a bad driver and the roads are too narrow and too crooked and, you know, it's just a really bad combination. And yet people just keep thinking it's a good idea. We have to keep doing this for some reason. That somehow this is, like I said, it's good enough. You know, that the winners are happy enough, so what's the problem, right? And again, it's just the voice of the losers isn't loud enough, in my opinion. I guess that's what's missing, is, you know, the dead can't preach and give you advice. You know, and that's really where it should come from. It should come from people who've already done this, been there and done it all, every little bit of it. And then they can tell you how, yeah, all of this stuff is so trivial, and it's just, you know, I live for bullshit, and I should have been paying attention to this. And they can explain all the regrets. I mean, because that's all it comes down to, is a bunch of regret about what I didn't do, what I, you know, all the missed opportunities, all the, you know, yuck. So again, you're just imposing on some new monster the same adventure. Does anybody really go through this life thing and say, gee, I did it all so well. It all came out so well, so perfect. I didn't cause any harm. I didn't break anything. I didn't fuck up. No, nobody gets to do that. You know, what person, again, you know, you can't find too many lives that are clean, pristine. You know, even the people that have it all don't behave like they have it all. You know, they don't even come close. They seem just as Frankenstein-y, dysfunctional pieces of slop. You know, it all going sideways for silly, the stupidest reasons. It all turns to shit. You know, they tumble their car off the road. You know, I mean, they literally, you know, can't, you know, and these are perfectly signs and all kinds, you know, the road isn't moving, none of that's happening, and they're such a fucking mess, they can't even figure out how to stay on that nice, good road. They're such Frankensteins, and they're king of the world, you know, the number one, they, you know, the highest paid, you know, and they can't drive down the street without flying into a ditch. Come on, it's you know, how can somebody argue this works? We ought to keep doing this slop. You know, just keep reliving all of these experiences over and over and over again. Ugh. You just can't, you know, nobody, I just can't, who's going to be making the argument that it's all that good? Their life is so fucking good that they just can't even imagine how somebody could complain. Oh, I mean, it's just all bullshit. You're just hero worshiping. You're just, you know, pointlessly defending what just can't be defended because of an ego thing or something. Some sort of silly notion that I must preserve the integrity of. You know, you got some, it's this flag waving thing. It's just, what are you doing? Yeah, be proud of some pieces of it, but recognize all of the flaws. Ugh. Anyway, accept the truth that it's not perfectly good. And it's not good enough, is the real argument. It's so far from perfectly good that it's actually in the not good enough category. Come on, just admit it. It's not good enough for imposing. It's not a gift worth giving. Gift. Yeah. Ugh. All right, finishing up, I suppose. So, back to warbles. And the whole psychology thing, right? You have to get yourself into a mindset that focuses and says, okay, finds ways to rationalize and make it okay in some way. You know, I had to play a mental game to be able to move, you know. Somehow I had to make what seemed inconceivable and impossible possible. And, you know, I did, because I just said, well, it's either that or dying. So here's your choice. You die now and just give up on everything that you're sort of invested in, or you just have to face the music. And so you face the music because you find enough courage to do so. You know, and that's sort of how we live our lives, I guess, is finding the, you know, the stuff to be able to do what you have to do, like going to work, you know, all the chores and the different things and the stuff that, you know, the stuff you want to do, and then there's stuff you have to do, and you have to always balance these things. And, you know, I've already known that I'm pretty poor at prioritizing and figuring out how to control all those elements, but that's part of gaining some sort of psychological power. I'd say the mystic has a lot of that, because, you know, he's very good at organizing and structuring environments and to make it less difficult to make these decisions. Like, the decisions make they decide for themselves, in a sense. So I guess in some ways he's not a procrastinator, and he recognizes, he's, you know, doesn't say for, you know, 9 months, oh yeah, I'll do that tomorrow, where I do that all the time. There's stuff I say I have to do, and I know I have to get it done. And, you know, it can be a year or two before it gets done. And there's no, I can't find a reasonable excuse for it not getting done. yeah, I'm thinking of, you know, well, whatever. So many missed opportunities because of the fact that, you know, you don't invest in, you don't do what you should do. And you pay more for it because you waited. That kind of stuff, blah blah blah. So much as that, it's part of life. And so, yeah, part of life is playing this psychology game with yourself and finding ways to make it okay, to give yourself incentive, to convince the monkey inside of yourself that it's supposed to go along. It's play along, It's the right thing. The right thing is happening, even though the monkey knows the wrong thing is happening. You know, it really is kind of that way. It's like, you know, it's like conversing with a pet, you know, and trying to get it to do things. You're doing the same thing with your own psychology, trying to control the little dumb animal that's inside, and make it react in a way that says it's fun, you know, doing the stuff you don't want to do. somehow enjoy what, you know, you seduce it into it, kind of thing. But like I said, I do still find that difficult. I can't, you know, I'm not very good at it, the psychology thing. My psychology keeps wanting to just hysterically, you know, run and scream and say, fuck this, it's too stupid. Can't take it anymore. I'm tired of it, you know, all of that. And I have to keep endeavoring to persevere. I have to keep throwing little phrases at myself to find incentive to do what I have to do, blah blah blah. So I know I have to do more with these videos, you know, and I keep putting it off, the doing more part, but anyway, I'm working on it. And again, that just means I'm thinking about it. Doesn't, you know, doing about it is a whole nother thing. But there is there is some stuff in the works. But whatever, we'll see if that adds up to anything. We'll see. Moving forward, blah blah blah. All right, so that's probably enough. All right, so we'll call it a video. And so anyway, I feel bad for Warbles On a lot, and hope, wish, blah blah, you know, whatever, like that's gonna fix anything. It sucks that life includes these really potently putrid pills that we have to take. And, I'd say it's reason enough not to play with this mess. But whatever, he disagrees. He can do that. But I don't think it's very reasonable. You know, I don't think it's a reasonable disagreement. I think we all should agree that it's just not good enough. I wouldn't wish it on a stick, you know, I wouldn't wish it on a piece of Martian soil, you know, that it should become conscious and alive and have ambitions and all of that crap and then get cancer of its, you know, tonsil. Yeah, I don't think that's the way the stories should be written. They're not good enough stories. That's just, frankly, I think it's just undeniable fact. These are not good enough stories. Too much waste in them and such. So anyway, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Yeah, so hopefully not as rambly next time and such. I'll try to make a point. So I just don't have a point in this video, in the sense that it's just an awkward, uncomfortable, ugly, kind of cruddy, sad thing. It just sucks. Not much you can say. It just sucks. So anyway, until the next time, and such, and so forth. And whatnot. This has been a Google is Evil. Sure as hell is. You know, so I think because of the recent school shooting, they went through every video that had the word Columbine in it and made it mature content. You know, I got a notice on my, I think the one video where I have the word Columbine in the title, and that one got, you know, 18 and older, you know, it's just funny. I don't even know if there was that much in there about the subject, but anyway, it's just whatever. It's just whatever. We're being controlled by a stupid algorithm. Ugh, disgusting.